everyone. I'm Margot.
And I'm Olivia.
And we just want to welcome you to our first episode of our new podcast, Becoming Brené.
We're super excited to bring this podcast to you guys and just to introduce ourselves today. So we thought today we would just start with some questions and talking about ourselves, basically just to get you guys acclimated with like who we are so we can start this podcast and so you're able to know us before we, I guess, talk about some more important topics.
So to begin, I guess we can just go over some basics about ourselves. I am Margot Darnell. I am a freshman at Nebraska Wesleyan with hopefully a major in social work and political science.
And I'm Olivia Wirth. I am also a freshman at Nebraska Wesleyan. I'm an English major with an endorsement in secondary education 7 through 12 and a philosophy and religion minor. Sounds like a super big mouthful, but basically I just want to be an English teacher. So something important also is Margot and I knew each other from high school and we started at Nebraska Wesleyan together and we're roommates. It's been super, super fun and we really enjoy like living with each other and we're in a lot of the same like friend groups and know a lot of the same people. It's been really awesome. We didn't really know each other super well in high school. We were friends, but not super close. So it's been really cool to like get to know each other and be able to start something like a podcast together this mm-hmm. year. It's been really awesome.
Yeah. And one of the things we often find ourselves doing in our room is having a lot of deep talks and we wanted to bring you guys into that.
Yeah, it's been really, really cool. One of the things that we've talked about is we call them Little Lady Time, which is a very interesting name, but we thought we should bring it to the podcast just to let you know and just to talk about it. But we have deep conversations all the time with each other. We've brought friends in and we sit down and we just say, is it Little Lady Time? And it usually is.
Yeah.
And we sit down and just have a deep conversation or just talk about stuff that we think's important. We feel like it's easy to just have really surface level conversations with your friends and with people around you in your classes. And we just wanted to kind of have an outlet where we can dive deeper into some of that stuff. We thought that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. And we are on a college campus where there are so many people to talk to and so many people that want to form those relationships. It's just really hard sometimes to get into that deeper level. And we're very excited to start doing that more often.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess these are a little bit of interesting things that we want to talk about, but we thought it might kind of be fun to talk about like our sun signs, our Enneagrams, our Myers-Briggs. So I guess it's a little complicated, but I'm a Pisces Aries cusp for my sun sign, which is confusing, but basically I was born, my birthday's March 20th, so I'm a Pisces, but the time that I was born transitions me right onto the Aries cusp. I'm not a super big person into astrology, but like I think it's kind of fun. I'm a very like emotionally driven person, but definitely have a tendency of kind of being also extroverted and like kind of being intense sometimes. So it's like kind of pulling me between two worlds, which is kind of funny. Very different from Margot's.
Yes, and I am a Cancer. I'm also not super astrology based in all of these. This is definitely the one I know least about. But it comes from being a very emotional type and introverted, very opposite of Olivia. What I am more interested in is my Enneagram. I am a type 9 wing 8, which is so confusing for me on a daily basis. Basically, that is the peacemaker winged with the challenger, which feels so wrong.
I can't not laugh because it's such an interesting experience.
It's just I'm constantly trying to avoid confrontation but also looking for it any chance I get.
Yeah, exactly. It's very confusing. And my Enneagram is I'm a type 4. That's been an interesting thing for me to grapple with. I actually took the Enneagram test and had type 2 and type 4 kind of be very close. The type 4 is the individualist. I forget what the name is of the type 2. But I know it's like community based and basically like giving yourself to people and those types of things. But I ended up taking it again and I was just like, okay, be really honest with yourself. And I got that I was a type 4. Basically, I've seen that in my life as if you're a type 2, you're very giving, like put a lot of emphasis on other people. You give a lot of yourself. And if you're a type 4, you definitely care about other people and like authenticity and vulnerability, but you're also very, I guess, self-centered and wanting to like create a legacy for yourself to be successful, to feel like, I guess, authentic in the person that you are and to really just form a community around yourself, which is kind of interesting. As I've grown and like grown up, I've kind of grown into that more. And Margot's actually helped me a lot with that. It's been really cool.
Yeah. And going on from that into the Myers-Briggs, I see a lot of influence from the Enneagram and, like, it explaining my Myers-Briggs. I took the Myers-Briggs before any of the other ones, and I was an ISFP, and that was super confusing because I didn't feel that, and I felt the 9 influence, and so I took it again, and I was an INFP, and then I accepted my 8-ness.
Ooh.
And went back to my original scoring, which is ISFP, which is the adventurer, which was shocking for me as someone who in all of my other tests is the sensitive type, the caring, like the caretaker. To be put as the adventurer was not what I expected, as I had previously typed as the mediator. And they're very different.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
And I see the 8's influence a lot with that of, yes, taking care of people and wanting to nurture, but also taking care of yourself and doing what you please.
Yeah, that's cool. I took my my Myers-Briggs also before I took any of the other tests, like Margaret was saying. And I actually first got an ENFP, so like being extroverted, and then the P I think is perceptive, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then as I kind of grew older, I also retook it and I got an ENFJ. I have continued to stay with the ENFJ. I've heard, and definitely not a dig at my ENFPs out there, but that once ENFPs kind of grow into themselves, they can often grow into Js because they become a little bit more, like, less naive, a little bit more sensitive of the world, and kind of try to make more, like, logical decisions and not so, like, into their emotions and feely. It's a little bit more of a maturity thing, which I thought was kind of interesting, but my extroverted score has always stayed fairly high, but actually has kind of lowered a little bit over time. I think that's a big thing in like all my personality tests, is like I tended to get a lot of super extroverted, give everything of yourself so you don't have to pay attention to yourself. And as I've kind of gotten older, I've realized that it's kind of brought down and reminded myself of like, I really am all I have at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But that's been interesting to see it like change my scores, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's really interesting that you mentioned that your extrovert score has gone more towards the introvert, where I had, like, so far introvert that I was scared that I was insane. But it's evened out a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's something Margo and I have talked about a lot of, like, we're very much on the opposite sides of the spectrum in a lot of, like, personality, and how we handle conflict is a huge conversation we had the other day in a little lady time. But, like, we've realized that we handle things really differently, and that's helped us, like, shape our views because we can see how the other person handles conflict, how the other person is a procrastinator or not a procrastinator. And we're able to kind of like, Margo definitely says to me like, Olivia, you need to just slow down. And sometimes I'm like, okay, Margo, like you can do it, like speed up a little bit. Like we kind of even each other out.
Yeah. And I think that'll be a really cool way to start this podcast, of like two very different spots on the spectrum and like going into that and seeing those both of those perspectives and then meeting in the middle.
Yeah, and also that we, like, can make that work, because a lot of people can't, which is kind of cool.
Some very good, respectful conversations.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to talk about our aura colors?
Yes.
You're very into the aura colors.
So this is brand new to me. I did not know this was a thing.
Shout out to our friend, Alexis Johnson.
She
brought us our aura colors.
Yes, so we just took these tests, and I don't know as much. I can talk for hours about the Enneagram, and I'm going to get there with the aura colors. My aura colors are sensitive tan and blue, which makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely
The is. Sensitive tan definitely is the, I'm sensitive, but I need to withhold.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes with the blue as well, of like putting yourself out there, but withholding.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll kind of look into that more and be able to maybe do like kind of an in-depth talk about our personality types and things like that. But I got violet as my primary color when Margo got sensitive tan, and then we both had blue as our secondary color. But violet is definitely like earthy base, kind of those like save the world humanitarian type of people. And then the blue is definitely centered on like emotions and that kind of like stability, and definitely like caring about conversations like these that we're having on our podcast. So it's definitely a new one to us, but we both thought it was really cool. And we want to look into it more. So So I guess after that's a lot of personality type of stuff, but we also wanted to talk about outside of like personality, just some like top values that we have, and things that each of us care about. So I guess if you want, like, we can each share one, like, back and forth and just talk about that.
Yeah. One of my biggest values in life has always been dependability. The being able to fully trust somebody and depend on somebody to be there and show up when you need, and vice versa, of I will always show up when you need me.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen that a lot in our relationship, like, very much. Not, like, what you would consider loyalty-based, but just, like, you want people in your life to be present, which I think is a really cool characteristic. I guess for myself, the first thing I want to talk about is I'm definitely emotionally driven and sensitive. I definitely grew up in a really interesting household for the reason that I was very blessed to have parents that allowed us to, like, express our emotions and to be very honest and open with them. So I was honest and open with my friends. And those are conversations that I've always had with people. And I've definitely been the kind of person who's like, okay, pass every other conversation. Let's have a deep conversation, which really freaks a lot of people out.
It does.
Yeah. It freaked us out when we met a little bit. But yeah, I definitely tend to be emotionally driven, but also sensitive. I'm kind of the person that can go through a lot of different mood swings, like, all at one time.
It's scary.
Margo's told me, she's like, I just never know what to expect. I'm kind of working on trying to, like, maintain those and to just, like, maybe make my levels a little less drastic. But it's definitely a part of me that I think has helped shape me in, I guess, the kinds of things that I like to do, and just allows me to have, like, important conversations with people. But it definitely can, yeah, come to a disadvantage.
But I've definitely learned a lot from you being able to do that. Like, when we are laughing and doing something, and then it's a very quick flip, but it's a, can we talk about this? Like, now, serious face to, that happens very often, and I'm horrible at that. I've learned a lot from that.
Thanks.
My next one I have would be tolerance. I feel like we are often portrayed as a society that's very, what's the word I'm trying to find?
That we have a big scale?
Yeah, basically that we're just, like, on it.
Oh, divided. Opposite.
We're very divided.
There you go.
Yes, and I just, like, disagree with that. I think it can often look like that, but at the end of the day, like, everyone's a human and everyone is closer than you think, and tolerance plays a big part in that of I accept someone for who they are, and I think everyone should be willing to listen to somebody else speak without needing to throw in their opinion, and if they do, doing that in a respectful way is huge for me. And coming from the Midwest, of a very state that it, like, they have their opinions, of being able to look past that and look towards the person.
Definitely. I wrote that, we talked about that as, like, a shared value that we both have. Margo and I are both Christian, and that's been really important for us. We do want to do a little episode about maybe, like, religion in college, or, like, what our religion means to us. I grew up in a non-denominational Christian home.
Whereas I grew up in a very Catholic home, and then moved past that in high school into a non-denominational church.
Yeah. So something that we've both shared a lot and talk about all the time is, I said it as Christianity is a religion of love, and truly practicing that love means not having, like, what I would call, like, fake tolerance. So I think tolerance is super important, but also reminding us that, like, if that's where we're coming from, that we don't want to have, like, this fake idea of, oh, I can deal with you, but I don't actually respect you at the end of the day, which it's something that's frustrated both of us at different times with a lot of conversations that we've had. But yeah, I think that's something that we want to talk about later that we definitely share.
Right.
I think for myself, something else that's important to me is, I guess, being an individualist and being purpose-driven. I definitely am the kind of person that, like I was saying, kind of with my four, with my Enneagram, I am very much like, you need to pursue the things that matter to you. You need to, like, kind of pave your own way. And I'm definitely, yeah, purpose-driven. I'm not a procrastinator. I have checklists. I get things done. And that can be a really good thing, but it definitely also can be a hard thing. But I think it's really important for everyone to find, I guess, that individual purpose or that individual, like, passion, kind of having, like, your little passion project. So I guess that also talks about, we wanted to do an episode of, like, Margo's a social work major. I'm an education major. Like, why we want to go into those fields and what those mean. Because we both definitely have that idea of, like, you should find your passion and purpose in life.
Yeah. My next one that I have down is peace, but I think I'm going to go a little off script because...
Oh, man.
Where this isn't necessarily, like, a value type, but I find great value in being grateful for all the things in my life.
Yes.
And, like, ending the day of thinking back on being grateful, even for the bad times. I've had bad weeks. Everyone has bad weeks, but finding those pieces that you can be grateful for and learning from it and finding redemption in that. And it's just how I keep going of being content and moving past contentness.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's similar to one of the like last thing I wanted to talk about is just being a grounded and a rooted person. For me, that comes a lot. And for both of us, I guess, from like spirituality and religion, less for me about organized religion and more just like how I pursue my religious practice, like by myself. And that also definitely comes with me for like being grounded in the things that I have, whether that's like the health of my family and friends or just the amazing opportunities I have to be in a really awesome school or whatever that means, like being rooted in the things that matter to me and the things that I care about. We also definitely have a really awesome group of friends that we've made this year. Margo and I are in like similar friend groups and have a lot of the same like core friends, but also a lot of other people. You'll probably be meeting some of them, but definitely like being grounded in the community around you. Margo's taught me a lot in that about allowing myself to lean on my community and like lean on my friends. That's something I've struggled with in the past, like not being able to fully accept help. And Margo's definitely been the kind of person to just like remind me that, you know, these people are there for me and I've got to depend on them. So that's been kind of a value I've grown into as well over the last, I would say like 6 months, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely been really cool.
Yeah. Well, moving on kind of past us, but not really, why we're here. Why do we want to have this podcast? Why is it called Becoming Brené?
You probably have no idea. If you do, brownie points.
Who is Brené?
Okay, yeah, so interesting little comment, but basically, I thought of the name Becoming Brené just like off the top of my head. I was like, ooh, this is quirky. This is cute. But if you don't know, Brené Brown is a social worker and also an educator. So both of Margo and I's fields combined, which has been really cool. But she basically came to fame like with this TED talk that she has called The Power of Vulnerability. Margo and I both watched it. Margo definitely was into Brené Brown before I was. She was into Brené.
I
before she was
love
cool.
Brené.
Yeah. And we actually have our choir director from high school, Brett Epperson. Shout out Brett if he listens to this. He probably will. Has talked about Brené Brown a lot in the past as well. And just she basically has TED Talks. She has 5 books. She's a social worker and a researcher, so she's done a ton of like studies over the last like 30 years, basically about vulnerability and the importance of vulnerability, shame, and like the detrimental effects of shame in our society, and then what makes someone courageous, which she finds ties to vulnerability, and also the importance of like honesty in our culture in order to move us forward. So we both just found a lot of strength and like cool things in some of the stuff Brené talks about.
Yeah, and she's definitely a very relatable human being. She, I believe, is a professor at the University of Texas, and she is just hilarious. She knows that it's a hard topic, and she struggles with it herself, and it just makes it so easy to connect because we don't want to be vulnerable in this society. We don't want to feel shame. We don't want to tie being courageous to vulnerability, and she knows that, and she doesn't either.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so much easier to relate to her through that.
Yeah, so it's been really cool. Margo just bought one of her books, so she's gonna read it, and then I'm gonna read it. But basically, we thought that Brené could kind of be like a pillow of our podcast. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna listen to our podcast and you haven't watched Brené's TED Talk, we highly suggest you do. We'll try to link it somehow. But basically, she has all of these values that we want to amplify in this podcast. She brings values together that like we both feel, and I think Margo and I have had conversations like we've both kind of felt this, but she actually has research that she can put a name to and like ties all of this together. And it's definitely one of those things that people can just say is like super feely and uncomfortable, and Margo and I kind of wanted to be able to say like as college students, as like what I would call an emerging adult, like being able to break the stigma of you know, not being able to talk about yourself, of being these, like, young people who are just, like, into their work and never, and are super lazy and can never find enjoyment in anything. Like, we just want to become Brené, I guess. Yeah. But, like,
we want to be more like her.
Yeah. And more like the research that she does, too. Yes. We don't want to make this, like, our supreme leader. Our supreme leader, Brené. Definitely sometimes feels like that. But, like, just a lot of her research we want to base our podcast around. If you kind of want to understand where we want to go with this, if you look at Brené's research, it'll definitely show.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And then, I guess, after talking about Brené, we get to talk about kind of what we want to cover and our future as a podcast.
Yes. So, we have been talking about this podcast for a few months
now. Yeah.
And finally got around to making the logo, making the Gmail. You can Gmail us.
Oh, my gosh. You can Gmail us? You can email us.
I'm sorry. I don't use Gmail.
That's funny.
Like, we should just get a phone number instead and really modernize.
Can you imagine?
That would be Brené so funny. Would never.
No, she would not.
Yeah, but a lot of our topics revolve around uncomfort of things that you don't want to talk about. There's those things that you sit down at family dinner and you know not to talk about politics.
Yep.
Yeah, you just know. And we want to have those conversations and we want to dive deeper with those topics. Including.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a couple, like, just lists of some stuff. We definitely want to hear from you guys as well, and just, like, ideas of things that you want us to talk about, things that you don't get to talk to your family and friends about that we want to be brought up. But some of the things that we've talked about is balancing religion while also being culturally sensitive. That's super important to us. Like, how can we be people of faith and have values and things that are important to us, but also still care about the people around us and in our culture, especially in America, mm-hmm. when we're definitely diverse. We also want to talk about politics. It's definitely something Margo and I aren't, either of us aren't, like, super politically inclined, mm-hmm. but that it's important to still be involved in our worlds and in politics while being religious people is something that we've talked about a lot as well. We both really are into journaling and yes. into different types of, like, self-care mm-hmm. and gratitude. Margo and I have had little, like, journaling dates where we sit down in our room and, like, yeah. turn on some music and, like, get to journal, which has been really cool. And then with the religion topic, we also want to talk about just, like, religion in college and maybe, like, religion as emerging adults and making religion personal to us rather than, like, what our families have taught us, even though that's very important to us. But, like, personalizing your religion as you grow up is something that we definitely want to talk about too.
Yeah, definitely just a mass covering of hot topics in the perspective of new college students.
Yeah, and we have a lot of different, yeah, we're from the Midwest, we're both religious, but I think we would also consider ourselves people of, I am religious, but I am not, not culturally sensitive yes. or close-minded. And we also kind of want to use this podcast as a way to, like, break that stigma as well for mm-hmm. for religion, for Christianity, for just in general, to remind us that, like, we can have our belief systems but still continue to act and be people of
staying good. Respectful and staying yeah. open-minded and inviting others to do that with us.
Exactly. And that's what our religion calls us to do, in our opinion, which is really cool and something that it's been really awesome to find a community of mm-hmm. Friends and also just, like, for each other to be able to talk about that. In the future, we want to also bring some guests. Yes. We have a couple professors in mind that we want to talk to, some friends of ours that share a lot of those values. Yeah, just a lot of different ideas. We have a ton of just, like, spreadsheets and yes. random things that we want to talk about that we want to cover in the future. But today we just, yeah, wanted to give you an overview of who we are, what we're here for, and kind of what we do. If you're interested at all in sending us topics, our Gmail is becomingbrené@gmail.com. So basically, Brené actually has an accent on the last E, but we obviously you can't do that on your email. So just becomingbrené@gmail.com. We're going to hope that this gets published on different podcasts. Services, platforms, there you go. And so I guess depending on what that ends up looking like, we can let you know in the future as we come out with our first official episode.
Maybe we can start a Facebook group.
Oh, a Facebook group, because I think is our target audience, what did you say this morning when we were talking about this?
40-year-old moms.
Shout out to the moms that are listening to our podcast.
We appreciate you.
No, we really do. We love moms. That's why we like having conversations with adults. Because they actually want to talk to us about stuff like this. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yes, we are so excited to get started and continue planning.
Yeah, this is going to be really cool. Margo and I have thought about this for a long time. We're super excited to just, like, have genuine conversations with you. And to get to know our listeners and, to expand our audience. We're really, really excited.
Yes.
So, thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank you for listening to Becoming Brené. Look out for another episode and have a great day. Continue to become Brené. Thank you. Bye.